did my university here. So I know this town. So when the angel came, we began that excursion. And we're taken to a place in high level. And I assure you, I know high level very well. But where we were taken to, I did not know the place. And you know, there's that tree that we call fruit tree. So a lot of the leaves were on the ground and they were very dry. So the tour guide now asked me, do you recognize what you are seeing? I said, these are dry leaves. He said, no. And he took his staff and removed a few of the dry leaves. Then I saw a liquid. And because of my experience in the oil industry, I knew that that liquid was crude oil. Are you with me? I saw it. I saw crude oil. So what? Crude oil? Then I turned back to my tour guide. My tour guide said, yes, that's crude oil. That the purpose of the crude oil was to support the ministry of a certain man whose name is withheld. And I know the man is still alive. And the man is struggling. Meanwhile, God allocated an oil well for him. And the angel of the Lord told me that this is the oil well that was supposed to sponsor this preacher's ministry. But because the preacher was not faithful, he would not be able to access it. And the location that this took place was in high level Makurdi. And after this excursion, I came back to the prayer. Tonight, this session is a prayer session. And we are asking God to take us on an excursion. The next day after this encounter I had, the preacher, I saw him, he snapped on Facebook. But you know what? I knew better. I knew that God was willing to project his ministry in such a way that it would be a global phenomenon. But it doesn't matter whether he stands on Facebook, whether there's a platform on Facebook like this that he stands. He can no longer achieve that level of coverage. And what the angel whispered was that he was not faithful. Wow. We continue the prayer. Few days later, the angel came again. He said, you remember that oil well? I say, yes, I have not forgotten. I'm still grieving in my spirit. Because this preacher I'm talking about, I was his keyboardist. I know you don't believe I ever. So I remember. So you remember that oil well? I say, yeah. He said, your ministry will spend from it now. That's what he said. That's how funding began to come. The source is an oil well. There are many secrets you will never know if you don't go on excursion. You will spend from it now. I hope some of you people know how it takes us to raise 1 million. It is as if the sun, they cut part of the sun and gave up. Oh, it's the same angel that came when I was in Ghana, and he squatted. This time he squatted because I knelt down and he came. And he gave me a scepter. When when I came back home, if a devil is hiding somewhere, we say, release your captives. They will let them. It's authority. It was an excursion. It was an excursion. You know what the Bible means by great and mighty things? And he added that you do not know them. It means that there are some things that are great. There are some things that are mighty. And just before you get excited, he said, thou knowest not. Thou knowest not. We were in the embassy when some people came and said, oh, why didn't you build this in Abuja? You know what? The people that oil wells were located to them that cannot tap from it now, one of their first iniquity was that they left the land and they went to Abuja. Suddenly you become wiser than God. And you believe that you should help God to fulfill what God has called you to do. And then you walk in dry places. Because the Bible says, the rebellious, they shall dwell in a dry land. Oh! The tall guy told me, he said, it is not as if God has not allocated for your city. But the people he sent were not faithful. And there were great allocations for your city. The ones sent were not faithful. I came to tell you that there are resources that have not been known, that have never been touched. They are there, they are available. And people are suffering. The reason is because they have not yet. They are not faithful. I went to preach in a crusade. First night I preached, there was this lady, she was deaf for 31 years. She began to hear in that meeting. There were crippled people that walk in Port Harcourt. All kinds of power. In fact, when I entered the vehicle, people came and started touching the vehicle for healing. The power of God was intense. And my friend, the reverend with the Baptist, he called me a few days later. He said, move the headquarters of your ministry. Move it to Port Harcourt. He said, me myself, I will help you. Just move. I will explain why I'm telling you this. Move your headquarters too. The day you become so wise, he will stop showing you great and mighty things. He caused me to pass by them roundabout, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. The Holy Ghost knows how to make you see what he brought you to see. It's an excursion. Such excursions are only possible when the hand of the Lord comes upon you. It will take you to the very place you claim you know. And from the perspective it will bring, you will realize that you don't know it at all. There are great and mighty things that thou knowest not. The reason why moving to Port Harcourt was not a temptation was because I've seen the future of this land. What came out of this land spiritually is much more than what came out of the city we call Abuja today. From what I saw. If there's anything happening in Abuja, just hold on. Hold on. People will land in Abuja and leave Abuja to come and look for what is happening here. Just watch it. That you will make wrong decisions, you will take wrong options if you lack an excursion. And it caused me to pass round about them. Sometimes it takes you into the future, and then it makes you stand in that future, and then you observe the things that will happen. There are so many things that men can take away. They can take away the coat of many colors, but there is something no one can ever take away. Those are the great and mighty things that God shows you. It will live with you forever. It will be as much a part of you as your own beating heart. I was taken into the future, and I saw this land. Oh, you will see in the interest of Nigeria, because of the things that will be discovered in this place, in the interest of Nigeria, they will have to upgrade our electricity so that manufacturing will begin to take place. You will see long vehicles, the same way you see them park at the port in Lagos. Long vehicles. Some are moving semi-finished goods, some are moving finished goods. And loading will be taking place. The economy, oh my God. If you have never been to the future, you will not know that you don't know it. I will show you, the Bible says, great and mighty things that thou knowest not. For some of you today, you are likely to even compromise because you are not seeing where God is taking you. Say, okay. But the man's name is Samuel. You know he's an unbeliever. You know it. You know he's an unbeliever. He has small idol in his parlor, in his bedroom. It's okay, because I've waited. But his name is Samuel. So make Christian background. So you are explaining when you know his God is not Jehovah. This has been long. No proposal for 6 years. Satan can cheat you with things if you have not seen great and mighty things. A pastor came here 10 years ago. This is exactly 10 years, so I can tell you now. Because the pastor is Igbo by tribe, he now called the Igbo sisters and told them, why are you following this man? So since that I've been coming here, you didn't see me to follow me. Why are you following him? The sisters now came to me and said, Pastor, we don't know this kind of friend you say you have. See what he told us. I called him. He doesn't know I see. I called him because I loved him. I said, see the feedback I'm getting about you. You know what I expected? For him to apologize. Sorry. He denied. So I cut off from him. 10 years later. You know, and when I cut off like that, I don't discuss the person. Because he's also anointed. And the one that anoints all of us, he will judge us. For 10 years, his ministry closed down. You know, when we bring God into the matter, we refuse. He said, vengeance is mine, Abi. I will repay. When you allow him, he will do more damage than you can ever do. Everything dried up. The person I'm talking about is based in Lagos. So I kept no accommodation till now. That is somebody I used to pay his accommodation. And the money I paid for his accommodation, I've never paid for my life, me. I've accommodation in my own life, that amount. Not even when I stayed in Lagos. The highest accommodation I paid in Lagos was 500,000. I paid 750,000 for that person. How does a person pay me? He comes here and wants to destroy what God is building through tribal sentiment. He didn't succeed on some, but he succeeded on one. And that one that he succeeded on was staying in my right in my house. And he used to take information from my house to give him. One day, we finished from service like this, and she came and served me food. The moment she served the food, that angel came here and said, "Your pastoral work over this lady has finished." "Yeah, has finished." So the next 5 seconds, she comes to me and says she wants to discuss issues about her destiny. I say, nothing to discuss. My work over your life has finished. She thought I was there's nothing again to talk about. My work has finished. You know, Gave her transport, everything, blessed her to go back to her parents. She ran mad after 1 month. Hear me, I didn't say go mad. No. 10 years later, that pastor now had we had a branch in Lagos and came and saw a huge crowd. That was the day the anointing was bright upon my head. So many people were delivered. I was still waiting for him after 10 years to say, "I am sorry." He called me. I picked. Say, what is the matter? He said, "Jehovah." Hey! He went far. He went far. Oh! Jehovah, you are. So for 10 years, it didn't change. Meanwhile, in 10 years' time, I've gone for many excursions. May you not do something that will make you a dwarf. He can't pay rent. He's still struggling, exercising faith. When God wants to help you, He makes you a sincere man. If God wants you to be totally snared, He will allow you to continue in your deception. For 10 years, the guy couldn't say sorry. 10 years. Me, first and foremost, I can't even cope. Because I need God badly. So I will come to you and apologize so that even if I miss you, at least let me see you have God. May you not depart from the Lord by holding on to things of the flesh. I've seen people that left their destiny because of pride. They couldn't say sorry. Sorry. God took away. And so there are many oil wells now that have not been claimed. Because men will choose to hang on to pride than to accept their error. The Lord will not take you on an excursion if you are heavy. You have weights on your life. No. This is 10 years. That we never spoke on the phone for 10 years. And when we spoke this year, I thought God has dealt with him. He came and said, Jehovah. What Jehovah are you? That it was Jehovah that led him to come. Ooh. That Jehovah wants him to see me. Jehovah. Okay. Jehovah will come here with a whirlwind and move me. Ooh. See, this is him that wants me to see you. He will send a chariot to come and pick me. Meanwhile, when he did those things, we saw it. But we pretended as if it, so that we will give him an opportunity to see it. Sorry. And he couldn't say sorry for 10 years. He prefers to be in darkness than for him to... Today you are going to drop weights so that you can fly with Jesus. There's one of my friends. He used to preach here. Then on Facebook, we started seeing him teaching because I'm a scientist. Metaphysics and in the name of spirituality. Are they teaching? We didn't say anything. People started calling me from different places. Are you seeing what is your friend? I didn't say anything. Until the day he came here, I called him, called Gideon, called some pastors here, who went to my office. He said, Oga, this thing you are teaching, can you show us from the Bible? There was silence for like 15 minutes. Then when it was obvious that he could not show us from the Bible, he now got angry. Now what do you mean? Hey! No, what we are doing is trying to extract accountability from you. It's the body activity. So that we can save your soul. Because he is not a scientist. Me, I am. So to him, those things he's teaching look new. We studied it. So that's how he got angry. And the Lord knew that thing I did was because people put pressure on me to try to make him accountable. So he got angry. How many years is it now? Me, I count in years. He is dry. Just because he could not say, hey, I was wrong. I was wrong. All the doors that opened to him closed everywhere in the world. I saw his picture on Facebook. It was as if he died and they raised him from the dead. I will not do anything that will jeopardize my relationship with the Holy Ghost. Because it's the only one that knows the way to the wilderness. I will not keep malice with you and miss the Holy Ghost. A man couldn't say he was sorry and he lost his ministry. So all the fasting we were doing all those days, all the prayer, all the waiting upon the Lord, he destroyed all of that investment just because he couldn't say, I am wrong. In our midst, in that council that we sat there, I and Gideon were the only ones that were teachers, that had the teaching and anointing. It is the job of those people that have the teaching and anointing in the conclave to to demand accountability. It means you have not yet known the body of Christ. There's an authority that comes upon them because of the kind of anointing that they carry. So that we can explain the counsel of God to you more perfectly. As Aquila and Priscilla did to who? Apollos. He walked away. Today, it's as if he never fasted. It's like a fugitive. May nothing stand in the way between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. So before we begin to pray, first of all, we are going to drop weights. If you need to tell God sorry, we'll start from there. Before we ask him, carry me away in the spirit. And cause my eyes to see great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Can you remove the weights from your shoulder? We want to come to a point where we are light, where he can carry us easily. The weights. Go straight to the Holy Ghost. And if you have a quarrel with him, settle it now. He will tell you if you need to go somewhere to repent. He will tell you if you need to go to someone and say, I'm sorry. All of that are the dealings of the Spirit that comes upon the life of a man if he wants to make you profit by his grace. Let our arrogance be punctured. Let our vainglory be punctured, so that we can become light enough for you to take us on an excursion. Is it not written, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Out of your story. Oh, he's not ignorant of the passage, the place you are, the passage you are navigating. If only you can be sincere with him, he will lead you. He will lead you. He will guide you. And he will show unto you great and mighty things that you do not know. I refuse to hold on to my flesh. I let go. So that I can be light, pliable in your hands. If you have finished casting away the weights, you can then rise on your feet so that we can ask him, cause me to pass round about and to behold. Is it not written that you will show unto us great and mighty things that we do not know? Momosika Lambros Keta Malaya Shakobal Yendos Kesa Salamonde Camila Bora Hazali. He will surprise you. He will surprise you. Oh. Where is James? Take a mic there and sing this song. He will surprise you. The things he will show you, you do not know. When the hand of God comes upon you,
He carries you in the spirit. It is time for you to go on an excursion so that you can see great, mighty things that you do not know.
Jesus, come with me.
Carry me.
Carry me.
Upon
the wings of your spirit. Carry me. Jesus, come with me. Sing, come with me.
And somebody sing to the Lord.
Carry, carry me. Upon the wings of your spirit.
To us, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21.
Because of the evening prayer, we will not take so much time. But this is a prayer point I'm giving you. Take me on an excursion. Take me on a journey. Take me on a trip. Show me great and mighty things that I do not know. Pray that prayer point for like 3 days and see what comes out of it. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. What's the meaning of that? I quoted this scripture in a big church. Do you know that the church members didn't know this was in the Bible? What's the meaning? No prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. It means that the scripture is not capable of private interpretation. What's the meaning of that? You see, God, the Holy Ghost is the author of the Bible. But there are many writers. Oh, I hope you know other religious books. You will find one person is the one doing the writing. Only one human being. Don't believe them. Why are there many writers? So that the principle of witness can be fulfilled in the interpretation of the Bible. The Bible says that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter shall be established. That means if what you think that verse of scripture is saying has no support from other verses of scripture, that your private interpretation is not what it means. Because the Bible is not capable of what? Private. Should I offend you a little? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible makes a statement. Let's go there. Maybe I'll offend you a little. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Can you say three things there? There are three things there. Can you see? First of all, we have Christ Jesus. Secondly, we have Apostle Paul. Thirdly, we have the congregation. So there are three distinct personalities. Right? The first one, which is Christ, occupies the position of headship. The second one, which is Paul, occupies the position of leadership. The third one, the members of the congregation, they were membership. Remember that oil that flowed from Aaron's head to his beard to the skirts of his garment. Headship, leadership, membership. Did you get that? All right. Now, and that's the meaning. And he wants you to have this in your back of your mind. Before we go to engage, I mean all things and keep the ordinances, I've delivered them unto you. So he has ordinances to discuss with us. Next verse. But I would have you know, this is the revelation, this is the real revelation the man received. It's verse 3. I would have you know, because you don't know it, that the head of every man is Christ. The head of, I'm not seeing it, there are four. So, the Father, in the economy of God, are you with me? You're not with me. If you see the way Jesus lived, he lived in absolute obedience to his Father. So his Father was his life. He lived his Father's will. So the life he lived was not economy. Christ is your own life. He's the one that is supposed to be lived out through your life. Not you, not what you want, but him. That is within you. So it means that Christ in you is your real personality. It's the image of God in you. It should inspire everything that you do. So the umbrella we are seeing here is the father subject to the authority of Christ, and then the woman is subject to the authority of the man. Can you see that? So the issue being emphasized is the issue of headship and submission. Meanwhile, the next verse is the scripture that people claim that the emphasis of what that scripture is talking about is that women should wear head tie. So that interpretation of that scripture is private, because you will not find any other scripture in the entire Bible. Did you get it? Oh, I said, did you get it?
Yes, sir.
So if you want to become a master of doctrine, there are a few scriptures I need to bring to your notice. Your study of the Bible should be guided by those scriptures. Those scriptures are the keys to biblical interpretation. Okay, let somebody else sit on that desk and take us back to 1 Corinthians. That's where nobody quoted 2 Peter that you have decided to learn. Who is taking over that desk? Ah. Okay, at the end of the service, all of you in that room, report to my office. Everyone in that room. If not, I will come there myself. Now, check this. Verse 3. Let me check it from here. All of you, you report to my office and confess. Let's just know who is responsible. If we can't find out who is responsible, then we will pray about all of you. It will be a prayer point. We'll seek God. Are you there? Okay, go to verse 4. This is application of the knowledge we got from 1, 2, 3. He said, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Man. Do you still remember the umbrella? He said, the head of... Wait, first of all, the head of Christ is God. That means the Father, then Christ, then the man, then woman. And the word head there is actually headship. Every man praying or prophesying, having his headship covered, dishonoreth his head. Who is his head? Good. Let me explain to you. Do you remember that scripture that says, for this purpose a man shall leave his father and his mother, and they shall do what? He shall cleave unto his wife, and their twine shall become one flesh. You remember that scripture? Okay. Now, and I've taught it here again and again, you know what it means. He leaves the government of his father and his mother, and he joins his wife to form another government. And they two, which are part of this new government, shall become what? So if after this new government has been formed and this man is still receiving covering from his father, that means his father is still exercising government and headship over him, even though he has now formed a new government. He's receiving instruction from his father. The implication of that is that he is, in that act, he's dishonoring Christ, who is supposed to be playing the role of headship in his life. That has nothing to do with head tie. But because people did not perceive the spirit of this scripture adequately, they say it means that a woman will have to. And I want to show you something. You understand, so let's leave it. So we don't need to go further. The scriptures are not capable of what? Private interpretation. Because the Bible has one author and many writers. Hence, the need for the principle of witness to be the basis of accuracy in scripture. Since it was not only one person that wrote, other people wrote. So everything you claim that a scripture means, you must find bearing for the same thing in the writings of others. And so the Bible becomes a closed book. And there is an extent to which you can be creative with the scripture because of the principle of witness. Did you get that? Can we proceed? Or you want us to? All right, so read the rest of the verses with that understanding. Say, every woman that prays and prophesies with her head uncovered. That means she's not operating under the headship of her husband. She's uncovered. Because she's not operating under the headship of her husband, she has dishonored her husband. There is somebody else whose instructions she's implementing. You understand that? She goes out and gets instruction from outside and begins to implement it by force. In doing that, you have discarded your head. You are dishonoring the headship that the divine order has placed over your life. Did you get it? You understand it? Good. So an entire movement began in Nigeria that was predicated on a scripture that didn't have a witness. And the other time, somebody said he went to hell. He went there and said, hey, every woman needs to tie her hair that Jesus is coming. Familiar spirits took advantage of that error that lingered in the body of Christ in Nigeria. And they are speaking. Not just speaking to individuals. They have a message for the entire body of Christ. That's what happens when there are gaps in our service delivery. Spirits will take advantage. So the first lesson we have learned tonight, and I tell you, we will do a very large treatise on prophets. That's why I'm dodging prophecy, so that we can have time to do it. The first lesson tonight is that, go back to my scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Quickly, we have no time. 20. He said, knowing this, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. It is not capable of it because there are many writers. So you can't just wake up tomorrow and say, the meaning of this scripture is this. We'll sit you down and say, have you considered this scripture? Just like people rose up the other time. And it was a culture in the body of Christ that man is a spirit. I said, no. You can't say that if your text is the Bible. Because Jesus said that the spirit does not have flesh and bones as ye see me have. Man has a spirit. Man is not a spirit. And it doesn't matter who said it. Because in order to be safe in divine truth, you must reconcile the Bible. If you have not done due diligence to reconcile the Bible, you are going to produce something that demons will exploit. Since we believe that man is a spirit, a preacher came the other day and said, it is your spirit that is saved. Your body is not saved. So if you fornicate with your body is not you. Just like your handset is not you. Your shoe is not you. So your body is not you. So you fornicate with your body. But your spirit is saved. And that was predicated. Oh, you don't know that spirits are intelligent. That's why God raises apostles with authority in revelation. So that they can come and clear the tracks that Satan has used to exploit the souls of men. And if Satan wants to do damage to the body of Christ, he will allow somebody rise that has no foundation. And then the person will begin to speak under the influence of familiar spirits. And people will say, but he raises the dead. People will now see miracles as a means of authenticating a minister, not whether he's in line with the word of God. Man is not a spirit. Because the Bible is not capable of private interpretation. You will hear that the holy book of the bond woman was written by one man. Now the spirit who inspired him, he will write. When you find that situation, it means the book is capable of private interpretation. Is anything you think it means that it means? And that is enough reason not to go on that path because it's a jungle. The reason why Phineas Dix, 100,000 hours of Bible study, produced the annotated reference Bible, and the church did not adopt it, was because it was only Dix that did that commentary. Because that's private interpretation. You understand? If we have 3, 4, 5 scholars, if I begin to propose a point, I say, oh, calm down. This scripture, we have to reconcile. That's why King James is my choice of translation. Because close to 100 scholars sat down to translate it from Greek and from Hebrew. I mean the best in the Christian world. And they were the ones that did not canonize the book of Enoch. It was there. I don't want to trouble you. Don't worry. Well, the first thing I'm saying this night is that the Bible is not capable of private interpretation. Next verse. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the source of prophecy. Holy men of God, they speak as what? As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I pray that such people in our midst that can be moved by the Holy Ghost, will arise from among us. In the name of Jesus. Let us pray. We ask, O gracious King, tonight, that you look upon us with mercy, with so much kindness, and grant that we will be moved by your Spirit to contemplate things that we have never known, to contemplate things that we were not taught, to reconcile with things that are great and mighty, so that, Lord, the excellency of that witness that you bring to us will be in our hearts more superior to the evidences that circumstances and situations make available to us. And you will grant that through these encounters, at least among our numbers, we become as strong as David. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please, let's cast our offering immediately.